All right, welcome to the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Let's go.
One of my favorite shows of the year because it is NFL draft day, which means for us, it is Derby draft day.
Let's go.
Is this the third or fourth year we've
fourth
done?
Year, man.
Fourth year we've done the Derby draft.
How about that?
It's growing in popularity every year. It's so much so that we told Dan Issel he couldn't come. He's like, he just got kicked out. So this is what it is. But we got a great just group of pickers today. I will be emceeing the draft, and I'm going to explain the rules here in just a second. And I'll announce our celebrity guest panels, not including Louie. So we're going to do a snake draft. And basically, we're going to go through 20 picks, so five rounds. And it's going to be fantastic. So the first pick of the draft will be from Caitlin Free, and that's because she is a Reds fan. 100% what got
yeah.
Pick. And then, you know, we've got Steve Pernacki drafting this year, so he will get the second pick. And then, of course, Travis Stone, who has nothing to do right now, but be on the draft. He's like, oh, I got plenty of time.
Plenty of time. No issues.
No issues. I can handle this. He's just now figuring out who's in the Derby for the first time, so this is good prep work for him, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then Louie will be the last picker. Which means he gets the first pick of the second round because we are doing a snake round. Travis, seriously, like, what is the prep work like right now, not just for the Derby, but just for the week?
Every day, every night, we all have events. For me in the Derby, I want to know these horses like they're my best friends. I've watched all their replays, some of them multiple times, looked at photos of them, studied them, asked questions. Just there's only 2 minutes to say what you got to say, and you got to hope it's at the top of your brain. So it's just about rinse and repeat now, you know?
And Travis, the track announcer at Church of Leons, if you didn't know that, I guess I should have said that. Caitlin's going to probably be on the big screen of Church of Leons all over the place. So, Caitlin, how do you prepare for the week ahead?
Well, a lot of the same ways that Travis prepares for it, except I'm not calling the race. I'm just talking about the horses. I'm doing as much as I can, getting on the backside in the mornings and in the afternoons. I've gone up to Keeneland as well. I'm just wanting to talk to connections, whether it be owners, trainers, jockeys, grooms, everyone that has some type of affiliation with a horse. I want to know everything I can about these horses. I want to be able to share that with the bettors and obviously have that knowledge myself, stuff that you can't read in a form. In a program, things such as that. That's the type of thing that I want to bring forward to the Derby, but just really getting to know these horses and their connections.
Awesome. And of course, Steve Pernacki will be part of NBC's coverage of the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby is so much about fashion. We've got a guy who owns fashion statement with khakis, nonetheless. But will you be wearing something other than khakis?
Probably not. I don't know if it's in my contract, but it might be.
How do you prepare for the week ahead, Steve?
A lot of what I do is we're trying to come up with a couple of like statistical angles that, help the viewers maybe thinking about the race a different way. The challenge obviously for us is just, it's a super fun broadcast to be a part of, but we realize too that a lot of the audience, probably the majority of it, watches 2 minutes of horse racing a year. So you got to balance knowing that there's people watching who are really into it, understand it all. You know, you don't want to be, you want to keep them interested, but you don't want to lose people who really, are kind of new to it.
Yeah. And Louie, actually our show's kind of changed this week for that reason. Like we know we've got listeners that don't normally listen,
right?
Maybe aren't as educated about horse racing. And so we want to make it approachable. We want to help educate people about horse racing. So Louie, we've got a busy week, right?
All right, it's kicking off. Everybody on this broadcast got a differently busy week, but busy nonetheless.
So you want to tell the listeners a little bit about the week we have ahead, how you're preparing?
Yeah, so I'll be doing Rabot & Co. 10 to noon, Monday through Thursday next week. Backside Monday through Wednesday. We'll be in 322 starting on Thursday. And then we'll do 3 hours of radio, 10 to 1 on 10 to 1 on Friday, and then 11 to 2 on Derby Day itself. By the way, we have the best job at Churchill Downs. We're done working at 2 o'clock on Derby Day. That's the key to life. There you go.
It's fantastic. It is fantastic. So I'm really excited about being out there. It's going to be a great week. And I love being on the backside.
There's nothing like backside Derby week. It's the best. It is. Yep.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the draft here. We're going to put our draft board on the screen. Zach, I think. I'm going to turn down Louis' mic. This is what I'm being asked to do.
There you go.
There you go. It's still super, super high. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, I got to make sure you register. There's our draft board. So, Caitlin, with the first, you got our sounder there, Zach? Is
Zach's a little slow on the sound.
Do we have a draft sounder?
We got the like the pick. Yeah, the pick. I thought we had that one.
I could just do this.
Okay.
How about that?
With the first pick in the 2024 Derby draft, Caitlin Free picks
Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. There it is. All right. So tell us what you love about Sierra Leone.
Well, between the two favorites, him and Fierceness, I find Sierra Leone to be a little bit more reliable than Fierceness. And I think that we have a chance to get a very hot pace in this year's Kentucky Derby. So I'm going to be looking from horses that are going to be mid-pack to coming from off the pace. Sierra Leone has a chance to be last or pretty close to last early on, which I don't love that part. If you're going to try to look between horses that do have a chance in this race, I'd say he's the most likely horse to finish in the Superfecta, if not win it. So I'll go with Sierra Leone.
All right. Travis Stone, do you like that pick? Why is that a good pick?
That's a good pick because he's reliable. He always comes with a run. It's not a good pick because she even said it. He's going to be near the back of the pack, and there's going to be 19 horses ahead of him that he has to negotiate. And he's got this sort of a slow grinding stride that takes a while to get going. To win the Derby, you got to have push-button speed. And so for me, he's more of a horse to come on for third, fourth, maybe second most of the time. But, you know, he's one of the ones to beat for sure.
Louis?
You know, Travis mentioned it the other day. One of the reasons this is a good pick is he's not going to have any issue getting the 10 furlongs.
Right.
Getting the mile and a quarter is not going to be an issue for Sierra Leone at all. We watched, I think, you know, if we're looking for comparisons of how to win the Derby with this horse, I think it's going to have to be similar to, say, Orb in 2013, getting into that 5-6 pass, something like that, making his move in the last 3/16 of a mile at Churchill Downs. But like Travis said, he's going to have to be closer to the pace to make that kind of move.
That was my first Derby cover as a media member.
There you go. That was a good derby.
So, yeah, and I agree. Like, I look at them between the two, Fierceness and Sierra Leone, and this is the only time I'm going to give my opinion. Fierceness, at the end of the day, though, to me, like, runs his race.
He wins.
And he wins.
Yeah.
And Sierra Leone, I think, has to have more variables to me to win. It's really up to Fierceness whether or not he wants to win or doesn't win.
Okay, thank
you. So, which, you know, Steve Kornacki, who are you going to pick with the second pick?
Here we go.
A lot of suspense here, but yeah, I was going to go Sierra Leone if it was still available, but not, so I will go with Fierceness.
So you would have taken Sierra Leone ahead of Fierceness, too. So tell us what you like about Fierceness. Actually, I kind of want to know why you would have taken Sierra Leone first, too, so now don't leave us hanging, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, Caitlin laid it out pretty well. I mean, just the confidence level that, you know, I would say – it's more likely to me that Sierra Leone is, you know, in the top three than Fierceness. I think Fierceness is a boom or bust, you know, wins it all or maybe finishes 20th kind of horse. I think the range of possible, you know, finishing positions for Sierra Leone is probably narrower, although I take the point 20 horse field. There's a variable you don't usually deal with. So, you know, yeah, I take the chance here that this is one of those races. Seems to be on an every other race pattern. I guess that would worry me a little bit about Fierceness, because this would be the bad race coming up. But certainly, yeah, I mean, this is, I was looking at it. I think the buyer speed edge, if you take the top buyer number for all the horses, I think Fierceness is 110, Mystic Dan 101, Sierra Leone 98. And I don't think there's been a gap that big. There's only been one gap that big in like 20 years or something. So I'll take the chance here that Fierceness does run his race.
Louis, we saw one of the good Fierceness performances when we were out at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup. What do you think about Fierceness?
Look, when you win the Florida Derby, you're a serious contender with the Kentucky Derby, especially in the modern era. This is the one of the very best, you know, predictors of winners. Obviously, even the second place finisher last year in Mage wins the race. Before that, you get a Tis the Law, you get a Maximum Security, you get an Audible, you get an Always Dreaming, a Nyquist, or who we mentioned. A lot of great horses have come out of winning the Florida Derby, and when they do, they tend to run well in the Kentucky Derby. Like you said, Mike, if he runs that race back from the Florida Derby, I think he's probably going to be behind, say, a Track Phantom, someone like that, sitting second, third position. I think he's set up pretty well here.
Yeah, I do too. Caitlin, why is it a terrible pick? Why is Fierceness a terrible pick?
I don't think it's a terrible pick. I completely agree with what Steve said. The problem is he's a boomer bust type of a horse, and if you look at the cycle, this race has a big chance to be a bust. And just in a 20 horse starting gate, I worry about this horse getting out of the gate. And he seems like the type of horse that kind of needs the best type of a trip. And Travis talked about it when he and I were on a show yesterday. The best way for this horse to win is to do the American Pharoah or Justify type of a trip, be close to the pace, but be kind of outside. So it's, for me, Fierce's chances are really going to depend on where he draws in the gate. There's not every horse is gate draw dependent in the Derby, but I think for a favorite to be gate draw dependent, that's a problem for me.
At least we know that if Fierceness does win the Kentucky Derby, that his owner will be very subdued and no one will even know that he's there. And just kind of in the background kind of guy.
I interviewed Brooke Smith today. If Sierra Leone wins, that guy might be like shirtless in the infield. I mean, like, I don't know. Like that. Oh, Caitlin, go ahead. I can see your reaction.
Big fan of Brooke. I talked to him a couple of days ago. This horse knows him. He rode on the van with this horse over here. So he will go crazy if this horse wins this race.
I kind of need a dead heat with those two crazy guys.
Let's go. Let's go. We don't need the Micropoli drama from last year. Let's just put it that way. All right, Travis Stone, who is the third pick in the draft?
I want to know the auditing company that put me in the third slot because I think the top two are pretty tough. But I'm going to take Just a Touch.
All right, Just a Touch, the son of Justify, right there. So
there you go. We'll have him talk through it.
Go ahead, Travis. Tell us what you like with Just a Touch.
Yeah, I mean, so I get it with the appeal of Fierceness, and I get the appeal of Sierra Leone. Just a Touch, though, is the one horse with still additional upside. The bluegrass pace, in my opinion, was very sharp, and he was right on top of it. I know that this is a horse the barn has been high on since way back when, and it showed as much. They shipped him over to Aqueduct to try and get some points into Gotham, and he also has that running style I think is underrated in a race like the Derby, that just off the pace with some tactical speed. He might not be good enough to win the Derby. This might be a little bit too much for him too soon, but I think he's a very nice horse, and I think he's if I were a public handicapper, he'd be my number one pick, regardless of sort of questionable draft positioning.
Caitlin, why do you like that pick?
I almost picked Just a Touch over Sierra Leone. I'm not going to lie to you. But I knew Travis really liked that horse as well. And as a public handicapper, I'm kind of dancing around this horse being my top pick as also.
Oh, wow. All right. Kornacki, why do you not like the pick? What's not to like about Just a Touch?
Well, I like the pick because I was a little tempted too, and the upside is the reason getting better every race. But the reason not to, just from a betting standpoint, I think, is this horse to me feels like it's going to be kind of the wise guy pick, and I think the odds you may end up getting are going to be lower than you'd want. So Travis and Caitlin, you know, kind of leaning in that direction, I think indicates, you know, people who really follow this stuff closely, I think are going to start seeing and noticing the same things. And, you know, that word gets out, and I think it could affect the odds board.
I would say if you wanted to go negative on Just a Touch, you would just say that he hasn't won his preps, right? That he ran second in his preps. Used to be that we really cared about undefeated three-year-olds. If you wanted to, you know, pick nits about this horse, I think that's where you would go.
It's actually, though, got a lot of Mage feels to it.
I was just going to say, if you were trying to bet Mage this year, it feels like that.
I mean,
with Just a Touch. I totally agree.
So that when you look at the horse, has not won a stakes race yet. It's the only one that's maiden. And never raced as a two-year-old. I think that's the other knock. Of course, that's been besmirched, too. So, all right, Louis, pick number four.
Oh, do I get music, Zach? Should I wait for the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do? I'll just go. All right. So we'll go ahead. Man, if this were a normal year and I knew the horse was going to run, I want to be clear. I would pick Endlessly in this spot. I'm in love with the runners that have come out of the Jeff Ruby Stakes, but I am not going to pick Endlessly because I don't even know if they're going to keep him in this field. So I'll take the other Brad Cox. I'll take Catching Freedom. The winner of the Louisiana Derby is going to come in off of that 6-week layoff. In the modern horse game, 6 weeks seems pretty okay.
Now, wasn't
ran okay in that Risen Star. This will be third in the form cycle. I like him here in this spot. I'll take Flavian Pratt and Catching Freedom in this spot.
Wasn't the Louisiana Derby so slow that they just kind of like just stopped it early and just like,
you know what I do like about that race actually is not great conditions in a lot of those races, and he ran it under the lights in both of those races in Louisiana. Once you get to the Derby, it is dusk. You're running under those lights. He has that experience. Mile and 3/16 in the Louisiana Derby. I think you can make a real case for Catching Freedom.
Okay. Steve, why do you like that pick?
Yeah, I think it's the distance is not going to be an issue. I think exactly that style of kind of you know, being up there, but not, you know, not on the lead and being ready, I think, just to kind of swoop in. And I think I have this in my head, and I may be wrong on this, but it might have been the fastest, one of the fastest final furlongs, you know, of any of the horses coming into this. So if this pace gets, doesn't have to be sizzling, but just in a pretty solid pace here, I think that's right up catching Freedom's Alley.
Travis, what do you not like about Catching Freedom?
Not much, to be honest with you. It's that running style, right, where he's going to be sort of far off the pace. A lot of things have to go his way. The difference between, in my opinion, Catching Freedom and Sierra Leone is Sierra Leone is more of a needs to get going, lumbering, you know, wind it up type stride. If you watch that replay of the Louisiana Derby, Catching Freedom had push button speed for Flavian on the far turn. With about 3 furlongs to go, he brought himself right into the race, and Flavian said, no, not yet. Let's just wait a little bit. We got a long stretch to go. And then he tipped him out, and the horse just did whatever he needed to do. That is such an asset in the Derby, to have that push button tactical speed that a jockey needs. Catching Freedom is very live. It's hard for me to totally knock him aside from the running style.
All right, so Louis, you get to go again.
Yeah, this is my chance to then go off the board. I will take the UAE Derby winner here in Forever Young, mostly just because I'm of the opinion sooner rather than later, and I know Caitlin will agree with this part at least, I think we're going to have a Japanese-based winner of the Kentucky Derby, and I think that's just going to happen. And so why not this year? Why not with an undefeated 5 starts, 5 firsts, over $2 million in career earnings? Why not Forever Young? Connections here, obviously, out of the Ahagi barn here. Interested to see how he travels. I love the Japanese workouts and the fact that we're just not used to them and we can't quite figure them out as far as, oh, he went out in 150, and it's like, he went out 150? What does that mean? But I love how the Japanese train. I love their demeanor toward the sport. I love all the things that are coming up. I think it's a matter of time before we get one. I think it's sooner rather than later. Why not Forever Young? I'll take him 5th.
Caitlin, you like that pick?
I do. I wanted that pick. I wasn't quite sure once it got back to me if he would still be available or not. So I had to take either Sierra Leone or Fierceness first and kind of take that chance. But it's going to be between Forever Young and Just a Touch is my public selection. Forever Young, I've been a big fan of him since the beginning. I picked Dermasotagake last year. Didn't get out of the gates that well. I think Forever Young at this stage, as a 3-year-old compared to Dermasotagake, is a much better horse. They've made some changes with this horse, and he keeps improving with each and every race. There's no question that he's going to get the 1.25-mile distance, and if any of the Japanese connections are going to win the Derby sooner or later, which they will, it's going to be this trainer, Yoshida Yahagi. He's very innovative. He knows how to win Grade 1 dirt races all over the world. He won 2 Breeders' Cups several years back. So if anybody's going to get the job done, I think it's probably going to be his barn.
All right, Kornacki, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. One of these years is probably sooner rather than later, the Japanese horse is going to come in and win it. But I will not have the horse probably when that happens. I'm more in the believe it when I see it camp. And it's not so much the Japanese breeding and everything. It's more the UAE Derby.
Right.
You know, 0-18. And just the line that I always remember when I think of the UAE horses is when Mendelssohn came out of there. And, you know, I think the estimated buyer was 106 or something. And, you know, of course, didn't really fire. And Ryan Moore, the jockey, his line after that was, he was talking about Maidan, and he said, that track tells lies. And I think of that with every horse that comes out of there.
There you go. All right, good deal. So we're going to move on to Travis, who now gets the next pick.
All right. I'm going to take... it's not very creative. I'm going to take Honor Marie.
Yeah. Honor Marie. All right.
That was my other one. That's funny. If I didn't go Forever Young, I was going Honor Marie.
Well, go ahead and say why you like it.
Yeah. No, Travis.
Sure. I mean, so he's won here at Churchill Downs. Yep. He's got a similar running style to several of the main contenders in here. I just feel like he's a horse rounding into form at the right time. A lot of times people get hung up on early season 3-year-old form or late season 2-year-old form. His numbers are going in the right direction. And I think he's going to get a good flow in the race. He's like these others, right? He's like Sierra Leone. He's like Catching Freedom. He's going to come from off it. He's going to have to work out a trip. But by all accounts, he's doing well. And it's sort of an up-and-comer. And, you know, there's not a lot of other types in here I'd be ready to sink my teeth into. And so, Anne Marie for me.
Tell you what, Whit Beckman, a
yeah,
graduate of Holy Trinity.
Yep.
That's the Catholic school where I went to.
There you go. His brother, he lives up the street from me. How about
his brother Beck was in my sister's class.
So I like him because of the Churchill Downs part of this. You know, that Kentucky Jockey Club has become a real important race in November. Instant Coffee last year. And, of course, the year before that, you get Smile Happy, Classic Causeway. You get White of Barrio in the same race. It turned into a great predictor for three-year-old success, not necessarily in the Kentucky Derby itself, but that doesn't mean it can't. And so between Honor Marie and West Saratoga, both horses that won preps in Churchill Downs in the fall, usually, Mike, I watch the Iroquois winner and I think sell that horse.
Yeah.
He's never going to make it to the Derby. And good on Larry Demmer for getting him there. And the same here with Whit Beckman. Great job with Honor Marie getting him qualified for the
Derby. Caitlin, why do you not like that pick?
Because he is the wise guy buzz horse. I think he's more so the wise guy horse than Just a Touch or Catching Free Tomorrow. I really think it's Honor Marie. And I think you're going to get a very short price on him, more so than you would probably want. But other than that, I can't knock it because he's done everything right.
Yeah, local connections can do that, right?
So. Well, price matters too for the Derby, right? It really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Kornacki, who's your next one?
So I'm going to go with the Travis called Honor Marie's win back in November, and I'm going to go with a horse he called two races before that in November, Just Steal. Dwayne Lucas, I'm a fan. I'd love to see him win, but I also this is an interesting horse to me because it's the most experienced in the field, he has the win in the Ed Brown at Churchill, 6.5 furlongs, and the knock on him for a long time was can't get the distance, and he had a couple second place finishes there in Arkansas, but then in the Arkansas Derby he finished terrific. He was actually getting faster, it seemed, as they got closer to the wire. Only lost out to Muth. It was by, a couple. It was a solid win for Muth, but I thought that was an eye-opening performance for Just Steel. The buyer jumped, from where he, his ceiling appeared to be before. I like, again, that it's, going to sit off the pace, but not be as far back, I think, as some of these others. And the question of, can he get the distance? It's still a question, but I'm not as doubtful as I was coming out of that Arkansas Derby. I think the price is going to be huge. And by the way, if Just Steel were to win the Derby, it would be the first time that a horse with this many starts prior to the Derby won it since Charismatic 1999, Dwayne Lucas,
favorite exactly 25
years ago. So it's written in the stars.
I had that one. I was there. I had it. That was great. And plus, Dwayne was awesome after he won the Oaks. I can only imagine what it'd be like after he won the Derby. Great. He was so awesome at that press conference.
You know what? Actually, that was one of the last times Caitlin and I were in the same room. She and I stood next to one another. I don't know if she remembers, but we were there together.
I do.
For the coach.
Yeah, I mean, most women remember standing next to you.
I get it. It's a problem.
We are in Chet Mays plastic surgery.
Yeah, right I don't know that we mentioned Mays plastic surgery.
Yeah, citation needed for that. Citation needed.
Yeah. We're actually the before picture.
Yeah,
that's what
is.
Mike and I are, the before picture. Yeah.
I don't know. I walked in the lobby and someone said, I want to look just like that.
I don't think that's what happened.
That's pretty much. Yeah. Travis, why do you like that pick, by the way?
Just Steel was against the track a few times this winter at Arkansas. So his form is what us horse players call dirtied up. It looks worse than he actually was. In fact, a bunch of us were on him last time purely because of that. And he outran his odds and he ran well. He's also got a running style that allows him to get into the game early, which is always key. He is very much so a live long shot. I like that pick a lot.
Louis, why do you not like it?
I think just if you wanted to get back to it, just crossing the line first in his prep races. He didn't do that. I think that would be the big thing. Also, Keith Asmussen keeping the mount here. A rookie in the Derby, big stage here. I worry about that as well.
Okay. All right. Caitlin, your second pick here.
I'm going to end up going with a couple of horses. I think are the forgotten horses in this race. I'm going to go Stronghold as my first one, the winner of the Santa Anita Derby. I think he's been completely ignored. Do I think he's fast enough to win this race? I don't know, probably not, but he's taken a step forward with each and every race. I have no questions that he's going to be able to get the distance. So I'll go with Stronghold.
I like it. So let's see. I'm going to remember whose turn it is to talk. Steve, tell me why you like that pick.
I looked at him a little bit. The Santa Anita Derby performance sort of found a seam there, you know, between horses and you know, got into that stretch battle, was you know, was resilient, you know, in that against Imagination. And, you know, I think showed something there. It has to be a little bit of an upside here. Has to get a little bit faster, I think. But, yeah, I mean, we've gone through the obvious contenders at this point. So we're getting into territory here where there's, you know, there's going to be flaws and they're going to be a bit of a reach. But, yeah, I mean, listen, a Santa Anita Derby winner, not a Baffert Santa Anita Derby winner, but that's not been a bad route.
No, I think that part's right. By the way, worth mentioning, and I know Travis called this race as well, October 1st, 2023, race 7 at Churchill Downs was a maiden race. First place finisher, Stronghold. Second place finisher, Resilience, who won the Wood. Third place finisher, Track Phantom. All three of those horses will be in the Derby field. When we tell you to pay attention to maiden races in October, November, we mean it, and that's a perfect example, Travis.
Yeah, I remember that race. Yeah, and well, the way First Money is in Kentucky now, we've got good horses coming here left and right all throughout the fall. This is also, he's just a useful horse. And what he is he's gritty. He's gutsy. He can get into a dogfight and gets on the right side of that dogfight in the end. He just has to get faster. But he's a three-year-old. They can do it. So wouldn't shock me, but he wouldn't be high on my list, but he's not impossible.
Look, six runs, three wins, 3 seconds.
People love Imagination.
Just gut the wins out, like Travis said, right? He's just a gutty horse. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that, especially in a big field. Like Steve mentioned, makes his own path in the Santa Anita Derby. That's really attractive to me too.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go on, Caitlin, with your next pick here.
Keeping with the same theme, I think this is easily the most forgotten horse in this race, and that's going to be Track Phantom.
Mm. Oh, all right. Well, we've talked about Track Phantom a lot already, so. I think people look at Track Phantom just kind of a little differently, right? Like, that's going to be the horse that sets the pace and then she's going to tail away. So why do you like him, Caitlin?
I don't think he's going to be the one that sets the pace. I think he's going to be very close to it. He's got a lot of experience. And really, other than the last race, he's really not done much wrong. And although I don't love it, I think it's interesting and very unconventional for Steve to be adding the blinkers in a race like the Derby. So that's either going to make this horse way too fast and he's going to burn himself out, or he's going to be able to relax a little bit more, which could be a good thing, but that's enough of a variable. This horse is going to be a monster price for the winningest trainer of all time. Granted, he hasn't won a Derby yet, but getting Joel Rosario aboard, if he can get this horse close, but not too close, Joel is one of the best finishers out there. So I'm going to take Track Phantom, and I think he's probably going to be like 30 or 40 to one.
Travis, why do you like that pick?
Yeah, I just think as time wears on, we sort of forget about who was good 3-4 months ago and remember who's good 1 month ago. Track Phantom at one point was considered one of the major players in this division. And I think Steve Asmussen is a borderline mad genius or mad scientist, if you will, when it comes to horse racing. He's not afraid to run his horses. All these other trainers, they want to preserve these win percentages and pick these perfect spots throughout the calendar. He runs them, and he's had success doing so. A huge workout over the track. Track Phantom is probably going to outrun his odds. Can he go a mile and a quarter? Can he stay the course under the intense pressure of the Derby pace? Probably not. But if you want to try, you're going to get big odds to do so.
Louie?
Another horse that broke his maiden at Churchill Downs. And again, if you wanted to knock him, it's the fourth place finish in that Louisiana Derby. It's the second place finish in the Risen Star. But like Travis said, man, went back to back, won the Gun Runner, won that LeCompte Stakes, both the Fairgrounds, broke his maiden at Churchill Downs. If he returns to that kind of form, he's the kind of horse that fills out your trifecta for sure.
As my son.
All right. Kornacki, who do you got? That's
Steve outside the Steve, Stakes Bar to Pimlico.
That's
baby.
Right. Right before the Phoenix. He looked very annoyed when we came up and said, hey. And then we had him.
Hey,
he was laughing by the end of it.
We're a couple idiots. Yeah
that's right.
Yeah. Steve's pick.
Go ahead, Kornacki.
So I'm torn right now as I prepare to give it to you because I could go in very different directions here. I'm going to take Mystic Dan. And two reasons. One is these, you know, long-term forecasts are meaningless, but on the chance that there was rain, it's established from the Southwest. He just exploded on the muddy surface, you know, at Oaklawn. It's always muddy at Oaklawn, right? Put up a triple digit buyer, you know, came up the rail there, all that. So look, if you get rain or something, I'd want to have him. So I'll take him for that reason. And also, yeah, I mean, just that, you know, that style. I mean, to what extent was the Southwest not just about the surface? I mean, he showed something that day, you know, coming, as I say, coming, you know, off the pace, up the rail, 101 buyer. You know, if this is a horse that, you know, is can, you know, work out a trip at all here and is not just dependent on the surface, you know, he showed something that day that, you know, could win the Kentucky Derby.
All right, Louis. Why do you like that pick?
I like that pick a lot, frankly. Look, if you even look at the Arkansas Derby coming off that slop win, by the way, that ride by Brian Hernandez Jr. to skim up the rail in that race earlier on under Mystic Dan in the slop is just one of the best rides of this year. But, you know, Muth was so good on Arkansas Derby Day. I think we forget about the other runners in that race that didn't run poorly. They just ran behind a juggernaut that day under Juan Hernandez and Muth. And so, no, I think he ran fine in the Arkansas Derby. And like you said, if that's wet track, Mystic Dan's an absolute must include in any kind of pick five play or anything like that.
Caitlin, why do you not like that pick?
There's really nothing I don't like about that pick, honestly. I was between him and Track Phantom for mine for the same reason Steve mentioned. I don't think it's going to rain. I hope it doesn't rain. But I
have a retractable roof on that paddock for you. Come on, Caitlin, what's going on?
There's got to be some places where I can go where it's dry. But I think even without rain, this horse is still a player.
All right. Travis, your third pick here.
All right. We're getting to the nitty gritty.
It's great.
I'm going to take Resilience.
Nice.
All right.
And he came out of that race at the fairgrounds earlier in the year that has produced several Next Out winners. He obviously came back to win the Wood Memorial. He has to improve. He has to get better. But he is doing just that numbers-wise. And I think of all the final round of major prep winners, he's the one that's forgotten the most, and I think he's going to offer some value. So Resilience for me.
Caitlin, you like that pick?
Yeah, I do. I completely agree with everything Travis said. The only problem is the Wood Memorial has been the least productive Kentucky Derby prep.
Cornacki, why do you not like that pick, or is it just because of what Caitlin just said?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you got to go back to the days of like Empire
Measure. Saichi, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a fantastic stepping stone to the Derby. But yeah, look, again, just considering we're in a draft here and we're past, you know, the 10th position here. I'll take the winner. If I were in the spot here, I would take the winner of the Wood, given what's left on the board here.
Let me defend the Wood Memorial this year.
We talked about this.
The Remsen Stakes, man, in December has been a great predictor of horses coming out. We got three starters in the Derby from that race alone, including Domestic Product, obviously Doorknock and Sierra Leone. If the aqueduct surface for some reason during this Belmont renovation is different than it has been in past years and horses are leaving there well, this might be the year where we break that Wood Memorial streak.
Louis, your pick.
I get two here. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Domestic Product here just because he did win and I get IRAD, I learned right before the show. So I'm definitely going to take that as well. So I'll go ahead and take Domestic Product, the winner of the Tampa Bay Derby and that blanket finish, four different horses. I've talked to Tyler a couple times since that race. He really likes that horse. He really thinks he's a fighter, just a scrappy horse. We're down to the 12th pick here. So I'll go ahead. I'll take Domestic Product here, coming out of both that Remsen and then that win in the Tampa Bay Derby.
Steve, why do you like that pick?
I guess I'll be the first one to answer this by saying I don't, but I understand it. I understand the logic. I didn't like that. I didn't like that Tampa Bay Derby at all.
Yeah, right.
I don't think the horse has shown, you know, he's fast enough yet. I'm not impressed by the sort of the numbers he's carrying into this.
Travis, is the layoff a concern for you?
No, I'll give you a couple of positives on them. And again, we're sort of reaching here, right? But the Tampa Bay Derby pace was slow, which means it's hard to make final time figures. Slow paces can sometimes lead to wonky final time numbers. So maybe you could argue that if there was more legitimate pace, he might have earned a better number. I think his X factor is IRAD, who's just a phenomenal rider. But Chad Brown, who knows how to handicap races and looks at how races shake out. And he and IRAD will have a plan. And if you can remember, Practical Joke broke from post 20 a few years ago, a horse that is a grade one sprinter that was able to find the rail from post 20 by the time they hit the first turn, purely off tactics and planning and just their strategy for the race. And to me, domestic product, they're going to try and do the same thing. So maybe he can outrun his odds a little bit. Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into a little bit more of a quick pick round here. So these last two rounds are people are going to give their pick and what they think about it, and then we'll discuss who got the steal of the last two rounds when it's all done. So, Louis, who is your pick here?
I'm going to go ahead and steal the rest of the rounds. I'm going to say that Endlessly ends up running in the Derby. I love the Ruby route to the Derby now in recent years. We saw it with Two Fills last year. Endlessly looked as good as anyone winning that race. He may have looked the best outside of Fierceness in maybe Sierra Leone in the Bluegrass of any winner in any Derby prep this year. Give me Endlessly here in the 13. Lucky 13 in the draft.
That's some strong statements there. Okay. Travis, who you got next?
Give me my biggest long shot of the day. That's Society Man.
Nice.
I think it's just a horse that's going in the right direction. He's getting a little bit better. I liked his improvement in the Wood Memorial. This is not just a late round throw it out there for me. I actually believe he's very live for fourth and fifth at, I mean, if he's going to be 50-1. I think he's training well, and I just think his horse going in the right direction. A lot of times those underneath spots in the Derby, it's up for grabs. Why not him at 50?
So you like this horse in the superfecta play.
Yeah. Yeah. Superfecta.
High five, yeah. All right,
five.
Love it.
High five if you got deep pockets. Yep.
Steve, who you got next?
I got a horse who may or may not actually be in the race, but I'll go with Encino.
All right. Anything you want to say about Encino, or just you want to just throw that one out there?
Just, I my big question mark, you know, is he was all synthetic and he finally got the dirt start and took to it really well, showed improvement. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, showed real fight in the stretch in the Lexington. You know, I think the buyer came back at 94. The stat I always keep in mind with the buyers, I think it's there's only been two since 2000 that have won the Derby who hadn't put up at least a 94 buyer. So he checks that box. I think 9 of the 20 do in this race. And yeah, at 4, 8, 12, 15th in the draft, I'll take a shot on that.
All right, Caitlin, who's your fourth round pick?
West Saratoga.
Yeah. All right. You want to give us any insights?
He won the very first prep race on the road to the Kentucky Derby, and Larry Demerit planned out a schedule for this horse to get him to the Kentucky Derby, and it worked. And this horse will run on turf. He'll run on all weather. He'll run on dirt. And I expect him to outrun his odds and be there late to potentially grab, you know, that third, fourth, or fifth type of a position. He's going to be a really good price. And this is a really good story. So I'll take West Saratoga.
All right. Your last pick.
By the way, should be pointed out, Dornock, who won a Derby prep, is still available right now.
Right. Who's also the full thing. Brother.
The full brother to last year's Derby winner. Still available here. Okay. Caitlin, are you taking Dornock in this spot?
Nah.
I get it.
I'm going to actually take the other Japanese horse, T.O. Password, which is not really attractive to me, but they're not going to go to lead with this horse, which I think is a lie. I think they're definitely blowing smoke and they're going to go to the lead. But in the off chance that this horse can hang on for a piece at probably the longest shot on the board, I want to maybe be involved in that a little bit. And Kazushi Kimura rode in this race last year, so he isn't a total rookie with this, and he's familiar with these types of horses, so I'll take T.O. Password.
All right, Steve.
I really was hoping Caitlin would take your bait and go with Dornock there, so I could take T.O. Password, but I'll take Dornock just because, well, there's almost nothing left here, and I think the horse is a mess, but I'll just take the chance that somehow it kind of straightens out.
Travis? You get the last real pick because Louis is going to get whatever's left over.
Or
Louis.
These are the leftovers. I will take Catalytic. you know, he ran second to Fierceness. I mean, you know, it was a country mile behind Fierceness, but he did run second to him. But in all seriousness, his race two back was okay. He didn't get out of the gate that well. Came on with a run, and he's entitled to improve a little bit. And I just like him way more than Brandmo the first. So, Catalytic.
Louis, your last pick is actually a horse who's sired by a Derby, you know, has sired a Derby winner before.
Here's the deal. Grandmo the first, 3 starts this year, 3 third place finishes. Your third place finisher in the Kentucky Derby, Grandmo the first. How about that?
Put it on your tickets right here. All right, let's go through real quick. And who's the steal in those last two rounds? Like, who's the horse? I know we know what Travis thinks. Travis already thinks it's society, man. He got his horse. Is that true, Travis?
No, I mean, I just wanted to be a little bit clever. Okay. You know, I actually think the steal, to be honest with you, is Dornock. Dornock okay. beat Sierra Leone. The number one pick in this draft, Dornock beat Sierra Leone. I get it was on a good rail or whatever, but that counts for something, doesn't it? I mean, at one point, he was one of the top three horses in the division. Why not? Why can't he bounce back?
I agree with that. Caitlin, who's your steal?
For me, it's between Society Man and Encino, because I think Encino is better on the dirt than they thought he was going to be. I get, you know, that there's questions about running him back in this race so quickly, and, you know, the Preakness could be the backup plan, but I don't know. There's something about this horse that he's better than people think he is.
Steve, who's your steal in this last two rounds?
Well, according to Caitlin and Travis, I got it.
Nice.
But outside of those two, either T.O. Pastor or Society Man. On Society Man, I was a little curious there, too, because of Frankie Dettori.
Yeah.
And, just if there's something to be said for a little Dettori magic in this race, 106-1 in the wood and ran a very strong second. Maybe Frankie can do something interesting there.
All right, Louis.
We've gotten to the point where I think, you know, we used to say the other Pletcher or the other Baffert or whatever. I think we're starting to say the other Brad Cox, and that's Encino in this race for sure. But, man, I'll go back. I think I stole it. I think Endlessly, if he runs a huge race in the Kentucky Derby.
Everybody would be very surprised by that.
There you go.
The turf horse for the 90-year-old owners.
There you go.
Gets it done. I think we'd love it, though. Caitlin, tell people where they can find you and how they can find you on socials or whatever else, and then let me know your favorite Derby Day tradition.
Well, you can find me on pretty much any social media platform. The best one is probably X/Twitter. So I'm on there. And then I'm on the Derby Morning Work Show a lot. I'll be on the broadcast for Churchill Downs all throughout the week, opening night, be part of the draw as well. But I'll be in the paddock, the brand new paddock at Churchill. And Derby traditions.
By the way, the morning shows are
awesome.
Excellent.
They're great.
And if you can't watch them live, they're on Facebook and different places. Like, you can go back and find them. Churchill Downs has really figured out a really good soft spot with those things, in the best way, by the way. They do a fantastic job with those, including Caitlin and, I mean, our guy, Kevin Kilroy, everybody on those.
Yeah.
I don't really know about Derby traditions. I don't really have, you know, too many of them. The work show is always fun. I love doing that. But one quick thing I wanted to point out, and this could be off or not, because I don't know if this horse gets into the race. The reason why I asked if I could draft also eligibles is because I think there's a chance that Uncle Heavy could run a really big race if he gets into this field, because a mile and a quarter is his game. And the Wood Memorial was a mess. There was a horse that fell right in front of Uncle Heavy, so he was completely stopped. He was a horse that he ended up winning a prep race, and he's definitely a true two-turn horse. And they're confident in this horse if he can get into this race. If not, he's going to go to the Preakness. He's going to get better as distances get longer. And if the Belmont was a mile and a half this year, I would be all over this horse for it.
That's exactly what my nieces call me, by the way. I always thought that was funny. All right.
I nodded because I believe you.
Yeah,
no, sorry. Yeah, no, sorry.
All right. Cornacki, where can people find you if they haven't found you already? I don't know that there's some people who've not. No. Where can they find you? What's your favorite Derby Day tradition? I'm specifically from the outsiders.
Boston guy here lives in New York. Yeah, one of these guys. Yeah.
You could look. I'm my name on Twitter, although it's the world's most boring Twitter account, so I don't really recommend anyone follow it. I post lots of pictures of mountains and horse tracks on Instagram, so maybe do that. And Derby tradition. Well, it's like, since I've started to get to do the NBC stuff, there have been two really fun ones. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but the last couple of years, Mattress Mac has shown up right behind our set with his, you know, piles and piles of cash. So it's always fun to watch that. And the other one is, we make our picks on the air. Basically about 10 minutes before post. So I make my pick, and then I just run to the area NBC's got. Just done with my on-air stuff, and I can be a fan, and I love that part of it.
Love it. Travis, where can people find you on socials, and what's your
favorite? Same thing. Yeah, you can hit me up, Travis Stone, on Twitter. My favorite Derby tradition is, within minutes of them crossing the wire, I crack that first beer.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
it is. If people haven't seen it, yeah. Travis's call of the Derby, they tape it every year, and you can watch him call it. And if you want to watch the weight of the world exit someone's shoulders, you can watch Travis as soon as that call is done. High five someone. I don't know. Even though, don't tell me who it is. I don't want to know. High five someone up there in the booth. It's probably Cooper Hassan, whatever.
It's Peter Gardner.
And just, you could just see just the decompression of Travis Stone after weeks of buildup for that race.
Yeah, the weight of the world leaves and Anheuser-Busch enters. It's great.
Love it. Just, that's Dan Issel's favorite thing probably right there.
It's way up there. Well, my favorite Derby tradition, by the way, is when all the old Courier Journal guys get together. So Pat Forty, Rick Bozich, and they complain about where the press box used to be. That's my favorite. Watching a bunch of 60-year-old men stand around complaining about where the press box used to be. How about you shut up and cover a horse? Deal with it.
I'm still sucker for my old Kentucky home.
Sure. No, I love, sure. I love lots of great stuff, but yeah. That's why, by the way, I got a babysitter for Saturday. My wife is camping for scouts on Saturday. I got a babysitter just to watch those five guys stand around and complain about. I love it so much.
But my real favorite Derby, it's not Derby Day, but Derby Week tradition is the backside. That's the best. So,
yep.
All right, we really appreciate you guys jumping on with us. It's a great show. Good draft. Kornacki will let you know if you win. You know, and then he was the only one who was like curious about how do I win this thing.
He's like, are there prizes?
Yeah, what happens here? Yeah.
Let me find out who's watching. How does that work? Yeah, no, we get it, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you all very much. Hope we get to see you all next week and have a great Derby week.
Thank you.
You too. Take care.
All right. All right.
At Horse Happy Hour on Twitter, Manscaped. Use our promo code Horse Racing. Ship to your house. 20% off. Get whatever you need. Look great for Derby. How about that?
And then come out to the Blind Squirrel on Tuesday night.
That's right.
7 o'clock. We'll seminar. Be out there. We'll be doing our Derby seminar. Should be a lot of fun. And thanks to Dr. Chet Mays for letting us use the locker room up here, which is really, really nice. I'm really going to just come out here and hang
just
out.
Just work. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And just say, like, Kara, go get me a water. Kara, go do this.
Stop taking the before pictures.
It's going to be great. So,
we get it.
All right. We're going to pay the tab. We're going to get out of here. This has been another edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour.